As we continue, so we're seeing the foundation of truth and what one believes and confesses about Jesus is the foundation to determine what kind of spirit is moving someone to speak. Yet as we know, not just one verse or statement clarifies about the true spirit. See, as we contend so often, it is not mere confessing and believing as to who Jesus is. The majority of professing Christians that ended up in hell believe this. But a following of his will, words, and character. Yet this confession of Jesus as the Christ is a foundation and a very good tool to tell if someone believes and what they believe about Jesus the Christ. Backsliding, worldly, lukewarm, and carnal men, in the context I use this, they're no longer Christians. Okay? That's the context I'm using it. It's not someone falls into a sin or does a carnal act or momentarily acts worldly. This I'm talking about as a lifestyle. They cease to walk in the Spirit, therefore they are not in Christ. That's what he warns them. The backsliding, the worldly, the lukewarm, and carnal-mindedness leads to spiritual death. So we say they can believe and do believe the first test. Often they confess that Jesus is Lord, and they believe he is. They believe he died on the cross, resurrected, and they believe he's their Savior, but they're false. See, we need to understand that. They've not met the conditions of what that believing means. As John said in his Gospel, 58 to 60 times, the word believe and believing is understood to mean believing to fall in line and obey, not mental assent belief alone. See, that's what most false Christians have. And so here it's going to be plain and clear, the simple way to know if a person is speaking God's spirit or if it's a lying spirit. See, this is the foundation. But it's not the only way. See? But see, the initial foundation is, if they do something initially, they're already, our antenna goes up and says, oh, well, we don't even have to go any further. With what? Well, verses 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. It means it's come into human nature. Is that what it means? And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God, this is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming. He heard that through Paul's teaching. And now is already in the world. So it's nothing new. It's a progression of the spirit of Antichrist and a darkening of society and the perversion of Christianity that is leading toward the full manifestation of an individual who Satan will so inspire with the false prophet to take over and convince most of the world. See? But there has to be something that leads to that. So John is basically saying the Antichrist spirit's already here. It's been conceived. It's growing. And eventually, it's going to produce the chief Antichrist with all power from the devil to delude the multitudes further by his demonic power and activity. So this is what we are seeing here. Every spirit that moves on or in a person will either accept or reject certain truths. Now notice that he's speaking of the spirit that's moving people, not necessarily just the false person. They are motivated by something. They speak by what they're taught and what influence and false teachings they're given, or by God's Spirit. The Spirit moves to inspire that confesses and acknowledges that Jesus is the Christ. That is, he has come in human nature, is what he's talking about, is from God. The incarnation, God taking on humanity to redeem us and become the savior of the world. This is what this belief implies. See? So it begins to take away from what mental assent of one scripture said. But see, in this particular case, he's just given the overall starting point. True Christians will acknowledge who and what Jesus did. False Christianity will question the virgin birth. They will say Jesus was just a human. These are certain sects and denominations like humanitarianism and liberal theologies. Well, even in the 60s, almost 30% of Methodists, Episcopalians, and Presbyterians, we're not including the Catholics because they're not even in the ball game. Almost 30% of the ministers did not believe in the virgin birth. And yet they call themselves ministers of Christ. Remember, that was 40 years ago or more, 50 years. It's getting darker. Okay. We have to believe then that not only was he the incarnation, God taking the human nature, he was born sinless, like we've said, of the human virgin. He took on humanity, but because the Father, the Holy Spirit, conceived him, no original sin was passed to him. See? That which made him uniquely different. He lived a sinless and overcoming lifestyle after that. And through many temptations, he did not give in. He did not fail the Lord as Adam and Eve did. Thus, he's the second Adam. A perfect sacrifice also because of this. Otherwise, he could not be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world if there was sin in him. His resurrection proved that he was sinless and acceptable as the Lamb of God. Paul tells us he was resurrected by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and proven to be the Son of God. So see, that was one of the proofs of who he was. If he had not resurrected, it meant his sacrifice was not acceptable. His resurrection proved this. And then his ascension bodily into heaven, where the full glory of the Godhead was restored to him. Yet he retains his humanity. See, that's the unique position of Jesus as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, and as the Word of God. So the Christ in us is the divine side of who he is. Jesus was the human side on earth and confined to various human limitations. But they were both combined to do the Lord's will. So Jesus now acts, Hebrews says, see, he came as Savior, okay? He accomplished that. He now acts bodily. He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. It says we have a great mediator, high priest, the man, Jesus Christ. It emphasizes his humanity. And when he returns as Lord and King, he comes as the man, inspired and joining with the divine nature. So Christ in us is his divine nature. He told the disciples, I am with you. I'm Jesus. I'm physically here, but I shall be in you. And until he was glorified, he could not fulfill that condition. But see, then he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will not only send you the Holy Spirit. He said, I will come and abide. See, he links himself with the Godhead. Okay, and that's why Paul so often uses the term in Christ, in Christ. Jesus bodily does not live in us. His body is standing at the throne of God, making intercession as the man, the perfect intercessor. And on the other hand, he makes intercession to the Father through the Holy Spirit, which he is one with. So he covers both sides, okay? So the apostle is speaking of the Spirit that perceives that Jesus is the Christ, and that's what these things mean for a spirit to confess him. See, they understand the ramifications. False teaching and teachers and isms, the main purpose is to deceive humanity. The demons aren't deceived on certain issues. They know who Jesus is. They will not encourage or confirm his lordship because their Lord is Satan. Oh, they know who he is. He's the God of the universe. They know he's the Holy One of Israel, but they don't willingly submit to him. Their father is the devil. He's their master, okay? And their main influence is to deceive mankind and destroy them, and that's in their corrupt nature to do this. So we're seeing that the Antichrist spirit, that spirit is inspired by the devil, the father of lies. Most, I will emphasize it constantly, most of professing Christianity and most of professing Christians who say Jesus Lord are false and on their way to hell. They've not taken the whole counsel of God. They've distorted his word and run with a few scriptures that the false teachers and false spirits have inspired them with. Now you could hear, he could say, from the apostolic Paul, that a world leader was coming. This is what he's referring to down here, that you have heard about its coming, the Antichrist. He will come at the end of the age. We are toward the end of the age. We're far closer to the end of the age than the beginning, where the apostolic teaching and ministries were. Let me tell you that Antichrist spirit, he's saying, is already in the world. All false religions and isms are of a lying spirit and of devils or demons. Yet we are experiencing the sign that the chief person, the Antichrist, will come in person. For as Jesus said, as the times of Noah and Lot, this is what's happening. That means total spiritual darkness and fewer real Christians will be living when the Lord takes out his own from the evil generation that is accursed of God. So it makes sense. Noah and Lot, at that time, there were no other converts. Their family got in because they obeyed their father. See, that's an interesting thought there. But even when God was dealing with wicked Israel, at certain times he said, you're so wicked. He said that if Job and Daniel and Noah were there, at this time they would not save their families. Their families wouldn't go with them. See, it was Noah that found grace with God. It was Lot who was righteous. But they were given grace in extension if their family would follow them. And they did, except for Lot's wife. He chose not to continue on with them. So we see, but they were individuals among thousands, and they were the only ones saved. That's a hard word, and that's what's going to be happening, and that's why we see so much false Christianity and very little sound Christianity. As God saved Noah and his out of the world, and then judged the world by water, as God's angels led Lot out of the city. He delayed himself trying to convince his potential son-in-laws and others to come with him. And they mocked him. And the angels had to come over and take him and his wife and daughters by the hand and literally pull and lead them out of the city. See, Lot was still hoping some of them would turn. They didn't. Okay. And the angels told him, we have to leave here, and we cannot destroy this place while you're here. We can't destroy it because you're a righteous man, and God wants you out of here. And that's what he's going to do toward the end time. There will be a falling away of the church. We're already there. We're not talking about denominations. Most of them are already fallen. He's talking about from true Christianity, and there will be greater darkness. Now, as Jesus had said, it would be as the times of Noah and Lot. We need to take his word seriously. So, what he's going to do, when he destroyed those in the area by fire under Lot, he will show his full manifestation against the Antichrist and the false prophet. He will deliver his own, and then he will destroy by fire and wrath the wicked of the world. They will experience the wrath of God, and Jesus and no angel will be in the heavenly tabernacle to intercede, to hold off God by prayer. Jesus will not do it. Therefore, Hebrews says, when he comes not for salvation. He already did that. He says he's coming without salvation. He's coming as a judge and a king over the wicked. The time of salvation has passed. Therefore, the wicked shall flee and hide in caves and mountains and say, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. See, he's not going to be merciful. They're terrorized as the demons that Jesus cast out in his earthly ministry were terrorized of him and said, oh, have you come to torment us before the appointed time? See, they had a certain amount of theology, and in general, they didn't believe they were going to be cast into torment until the final judgment at the end of the age. But they were so terrorized, maybe they thought Jesus would make an exception for them. But they knew who he was, and they knew the ability. See, he didn't come to deliver them or help demons. Now, when John wrote, Christianity was not regarded by the Roman world and all of their religious systems. They were not regarded hardly at all. To name the name Jesus as Lord and God was something that it cost you much harm, much disdain from these worldly people, and ultimately persecution, because the true Christian only accepted the Lord Jesus and the Father as being God. Yet the true Christian would publicly confess Jesus, and persecution went along with it. The Spirit of Christ was in them. Now millions upon millions confess Jesus as Lord, yet are not true Christians, and the Spirit of Christ does not indwell them, as they will find when they face Jesus, the judge. As we've said multitudes of times, they will say, Lord, Lord. They believe he's their Lord. See, that's the deception. Yet he denies knowing them. It is not the person that confesses Jesus is truly the Christian. See, that was just one requirement. But the Spirit moved so-called prophets and ministries that will not acknowledge Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, the Incarnation. So we could say basically 2/7 or 2 billion people in the world are probably in that classification. They claim Christianity, and they claim maybe one scriptural thing, that Jesus is the Lord. So lip service alone does not prove Christianity. No more under the law, they got to be corrupt, but they still went to the tabernacle. They still sang songs and played musical instruments and praised the Lord. And Ezekiel, God speaking to him, said, well, I hate your gathering. He said, I hate your music. I hate your giving. I hate your worship. He said, because you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. So it hasn't changed. Most of these people that think they're Christians, they honor him with lip service, but their lifestyle proves they're not his. Revelation, the same writer, John 17:5-6. And on her forehead, a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Thus, many believe that are sound, I believe it, that this is the Roman Catholic system, along with most false Protestant gatherings, liberals that have joined with it. They have a form of godliness. They have religiosity, but they deny the Lord by mingling with false religion, by mixing. That's why she's called a whore, an adulteress. We find this very much so in South America, in Central America. These people profess to be Catholics, yet they've taken their ancestral spirits and demons and set them up as Christian saints, and the Catholic Church has encouraged them. As someone said, in Haiti, it's 80% Roman Catholic, 20% Protestant, and 100% Voodoo. And see, that's true. So it's the false, adulterous system that mingles so-called Christ. And why was he amazed? Well, see, in his time, when you named the name of the Lord, you were persecuted by the people as a whole. It was not something popular to do. But he was amazed because as he looks down through history and saw what he saw, that this great whore that had influence over the world, but had killed true martyrs, that's who he's talking about, had killed the true witnesses, well, we've seen that for hundreds of years, and yet she claimed to represent Christ. Yet the false prophet and the Antichrist will happen to subdue her. See, they'll destroy that system. They'll ride along with it and use it till it suits their purposes. Then they'll throw it over and they'll institute something worse than that. See, that's what's happened. But these people who love not the truth to obey and follow Christ as Lord are given over to false spirits. That's what's going to happen under the Antichrist. The lying spirit. Paul said a great delusion will be sent. Because, he gives a reason, they love not the knowledge of the truth. They either had the gospel or their conscience was given the truth and they did not want it. So evil spirits will not acknowledge that Jesus as Lord, as having come in human nature. Yet people can profess and believe without proving faithfulness by practical righteousness, obeying the Lord and his spirit. So he marveled because he didn't live at a time when Christianity was popular. It had taken over much of the world. And yet they said, I am of Christ. I am of Christ. And did not Jesus say, many Christs will come and deceive many? Well, these systems, the Roman Catholic system and the liberal Protestant Orthodox and most of the other ones, they go along with this. They mingle with everything, with New Age, with false religion. That's what all this ecumenicalism is about. It's false as a whole. See? You give up your belief and mine, and we'll just agree on what we want to agree with. We will just love each other and not disturb each other. That's false Christianity. True Christianity exposes evil and exposes false messengers. But today, the popular word, oh, judge not, it's not our place. It is most certainly our place. Paul said, you don't judge those outside the center because he's already under God's judgment and condemnation. He said, we judge those within, those who are true Christians. So we've judged them to be false, these ones who name his name, and yet have an influence over much of the world. So the devil uses them. So he's marveled, he's amazed that so much of the world is saying Christ, Christ, and yet they don't serve Christ. They don't obey him. They perverted scripture. They've mingled with everything. That's what amazed John, because in his time, you were persecuted for the word of God and for living your Christianity, you were not popular in society. The world hated Jesus, and the world hates his true followers as a whole. Okay. So we see that the evil lying spirits cannot promote the truth and holiness of God in Christ, because it's not in them. Out of terror, as we said, demons will acknowledge Jesus when put on the spot as the Holy One of Israel, as they did to Jesus. But they would not and could not promote the truth of who Jesus was and confess him as their Lord. And they want to keep humanity from doing this because they know that that will lead to their damnation. So all devils, which are fallen angels, and all wicked mankind may eventually, they will acknowledge Jesus at the day of judgment, but still not as their Lord. They will recognize he is the God of judgment, and they will recognize they will get the judgment they deserve. But they were not acknowledging him to follow him, see? But they recognized him as God the judge. And this will be right before they are cast into outer darkness or the lake of fire. See? Every knee shall ultimately confess who Jesus is, even if they will not obey him. Okay, we're going to stop now. We've come to the end. So these words we've talked about, we want to emphasize that it's the Spirit here that is to be tested. When someone comes and professes to be of Christ, see, that's what happens. They will speak and say, we represent Christ, but they do not. When you examine them and test them of what they literally believe, we'll find most of them are false. Then we got a multitude who believe mentally who Jesus is, the Lord, but they live in sin. They've received false grace, false faith, license to sin. They believe God's grace is going to cover everything, and their spirit is saved and cannot sin, but they can commit fornication and deceitfulness and all kinds of sin because their spirit's holy. The doctrines of the Nicolaitans was similar to the greasy grace those who emphasize ultra-Calvinism that you have a license to sin, that once you're saved, you cannot be unsaved. See, this is doctrines of demons. So he doesn't just use one avenue. He comes, and when Satan promotes the Antichrist and the false prophet, says he will come with all lying wonders to deceive many. People cannot be deceived, as I've said in closing, but for two reasons, basically, or at least Christians. They're walking in known gross sin, or they don't want to do the will of God. This is what opens true Christians to demonic influences. See? Otherwise, they would not be deceived. The Spirit guides them in truth. The Spirit protects them. But those who willfully set against him and will not conform, and those who truly don't want the truth or the word, as the Antichrist said, they, during that time, Paul said, they would not acknowledge the love of the truth. They'd rather have the false prophets. As the Apostle Paul said, they will not endure sound teaching. See, we're at the end times. If we ever doubted it, we shouldn't be doubting it. The Lord give us wisdom, give us inspiration to maintain our walk and to hold on to our crown when everybody around us is falling or has already been deceived. That the city's light, the church, has basically gone out and it's left up now to the candles before the Lord to maintain the walk that you require of them, that you give grace when the city's light has basically failed. But no one has to fall away. You will give the individual candle the light and the grace to endure during these dark and deceptive and evil times. Give us this grace to do this and remain loyal until you come or till you come for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.